Welcome back, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak. We are days away. Today's the 11th first practice for the Saints on July 23rd. That will be open to fans, 9 to 11. Saints football coming up. And there's just, as we talked about, the Pelicans, change. Dolph Jackson, host of the Keeping It Real Who Dat Sports podcast, joining us to talk a little Saints football as we get ready in these kind of dark, dull days prior to camp. Like, there's really, you got Wimbledon, you got the British Open, or the Open Championship, I should say. But then it's football. And so how you doing, Dolph? Welcome to the show.
Mike, Jim, how you doing? Can I come on in? What's going on, guys?
Are you as excited as we are? Are you football, you know, you just you can't take it anymore?
Hey, the Chargers report to camp tomorrow. They're rookies, so football season starts tomorrow in my book. That's how excited I am for football.
I'm always like who's the Hall of Fame game this year? Who is it?
Oof.
The Chargers?
It's got to be the Chargers.
And the Lions?
It's like you're so excited, right? It's football. It's the Hall of Fame game. And like 6 minutes in, you're like, I'm out.
It is Chargers and Lions.
I'm out. I'm like, okay, football's back.
We don't have
but
a
I'm
fancy
out.
Kickoff to get excited about this year. That was like the sales pitch for last year's Hall of Fame game. It was like, oh, they're going to line up weird. And everyone watched it one time. And they're like, we're bored now. But, you know, so Dolph, tell me. Okay, so there's a lot of storylines for the Saints. There's Kellen Moore, there's the quarterback competition, there's this, that, and the other thing. What would you say you're most excited about seeing play out, not necessarily the result, but like what element of this year's Saints team are you the most invested in?
Offensive line, and for good reason. Of course, we got high capital on the offensive line. Four number ones, a high number two, and one of the best centers in the National Football League, and Eric McCoy. And like you guys were saying earlier, the last 2 years. I agree. Speaking about the number one draft picks of the Saints, these kids have hardly been mentioned, but that's a good thing. No news is good news. So really excited to see Calvin Banks Jr. at left tackle. Ty Lacy goes back over to right tackle. And the enigma up front, of course, is Trevor Penning. Can he adapt to playing left guard? And if he is successful as a left guard, I think the Saints have an opportunity to be one of the better offensive lines in the NFC and thus surprise teams, because the Eagles taught us last year, if nothing else, football is still won in the trenches. So offensive line, guys, would be where I'm most interested in seeing. And who's going to be that swing tackle and that guard? That 6 and 7 offensive lineman is going to be very important, too.
Probably 7, 8, and 9 these days, right?
That's true.
Not just, you know what I mean, and the way it's been in the last few years for this team. It hasn't been, you know, 6 and 7, but, man, 8, 9, 10. There's never enough.
I'm a Landon Young truther. I like Landon Young. Maybe I'm just like a homer. But I enjoy, like, I appreciate what Landon Young has done. The same way I appreciated James Hurst. Like, was not the best tackle in the world. But, like, the fact that they were like, hey, we need a guard. Can you play guard this week? You're like, I got it. Never played guard in my life. I'll go in there for you, though. And, like, I think he's going to be, like, they brought him back. I think he's going to be that dude.
Yeah, I had high expectations for Landon Young, and I kind of was down on him for a while. And because I watched the kid play at Kentucky, I thought he was he's hellable, talented. And I just think since he's been a member of the New Orleans Saints, I don't think we have seen the best of Landon Young. And I think maybe 2 years ago when he was seemed like a light was coming on, he gets injured. So, yeah. Landon Young, he could be that James Hurst. He most definitely could.
I mean, it's the elephant in the room, but, you know, when this season opens with Arizona and San Francisco, who's under center?
Well, you put your money on Tyler Shuck. Why? Because he's the chosen one. by Kellen Moore. But there's something about this Spencer Rattler kid. Last year, I know he went 0-6. I understand that. I understand he was Jekyll and Hyde first half, second half. But there's something about the way this kid approaches the game, the way he carries himself on the field. He plays like he's a starter. He plays like he knows he's a starter and he belongs. I think it's going to be more of a competition than people think. And we got to realize Spencer does have live game NFL experience. So we're going to have to see how fast can Tyler adapt to the speed of the NFL, the OTAs and mini camp, all that's good. But now we're getting into training camp, and it's going to be like a raceway out there, man. So how fast can he process and just develop into what we think he is? The kid can make every throw. He's highly intelligent. So I'm just looking for a good battle. And, guys, it's simple. Whoever gives us the best opportunity to win, that's who I'm riding with them. Whoever's on the center.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, to me, it's going to be a lot of talk about what we see at camp. But I think at the end of the day, a lot of it's going to come down to what happens behind the scenes and how these guys are picking up the offense, right? And so I think the signals you're going to be looking for are not even necessarily, oh, he completed this pass, he completed this pass. It's going to be, okay, are they getting in and out? Are they running plays again? Are they going back into the huddle? Like, who's running the offense better, especially in year one? Because there's just so many moving parts, right? Like, we have the new offense, new defense, all these new pieces. I just feel like if it gets down to it and Spencer Rattler is running the offense better, you're not going to go with Tyler just because he's the rookie, the guy that you picked this year, the Kellen Moore pick. Like, they're invested in winning football games. They're not invested in struggling through just to make it work with the guy you draft pick.
Right, and if I'm Kellen Moore, I want to win. I want to be successful first season. I don't want to start my head coaching career off with a losing record.
No, there's no 5-year plan anymore for head coaches. I mean?
Although I do think that Kellen has more security than a lot of coaches might.
Because of his youth.
Well, because of his youth time. And also just because of what's happened for the Saints over the last 4 years.
Right.
Right? Like, if he was coming in right off Sean Payton, it would. I don't even know if the organizational pressure would have been there, but the fan pressure would have been there. Now it's kind of like you could go 7-10 and people would be like, oh, wow, we're on the right track, you know?
I don't know. Right. How about
– Hey, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what I've been thinking about, the average in the NFL, I believe, is 7 to 9 teams improve each season by 4 wins. You had the Chargers last year. You had the Commanders who were 5-12 the previous year. And then last year, of course, they struggled at the quarterback position. But, hey, now they're one of the favorites in the NFC. They make it to the NFC championship game. So you never know. It doesn't necessarily have to take 3-4 years. It could be this season if everything lines up right, if you have the right people in the building from the head coach on down to the player. So why can't the Saints be this year's Commanders? Why not?
I agree. I'm not. I don't know if I have blinders on, but I'm always way more optimistic than I probably should be. When Jeff Duncan asks, you know, every year, what's the record? I'm always 9-8. I don't know, 10-7. You know, I don't know. I just don't. I do not feel. And you're right about the NFL because the NFL wants it. They make. So that the worst teams play the worst teams and they have a better opportunity.
Here's my take. There's no such thing as an NFL team that can't win 9 games under the right circumstances.
Agreed.
Right? Like, it's not that many games.
The Saints could have won. I can put 9 wins on the Saints in a heartbeat last year.
Right. And they won, they did win 9 games 2 years ago in a season that everyone looks back on and was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And they're like, okay, with the benefit of hindsight, like, it wasn't that bad. Like, they won 9 games the year before that with Taysom Hill. Or no, not the year before that. 2 years before that with 4 quarterbacks, including Trevor Siemian, losing 5 starts.
4 kickers.
So, right. So, like, it's all circumstantial. It's all circumstantial. If you get good luck, if you get good injury luck, and you run into teams with bad injury luck, you could be a bottom 10 team in the NFL. You could run into 9 wins. So the idea that there's just no way the Saints can be competitive this year, I think, is unfair. Now, the odds are against them. There's no denying that. But what would your schedule or your record prediction be if you had to make one today, Dolph?
Oh man, you put me on the spot. Yes. I really don't like doing record predictions without seeing the team, but since your family. since your family. I'm gonna say, hey, we improved by 5, 10-7. Surprise everybody. 10-7.
That is optimistic.
That is. But I mean, your home games, you only have 8, but you have one team that's won more than, double digits. I think the position that we haven't talked about at least today, and we talked about the offensive line and the quarterback, but to me, Kendre Miller, Hilaire, Devin Neal, Cam Akers, Alvin Kamara, you get a running game of any semblance. I don't want any pressure on Shuck or Rattler or Deckers or Hayner. I don't care who it is. If you can run the ball, and this team is not, that offensive line and this running back squad room, we don't know what we have in Kendre Miller yet. We just don't, right? And I think I'm looking forward to Devin Neal. Run the ball, and I know that's what Kellen Moore wants.
So, and also, guys, when we like you said, Mike, we spoke about offensive line. Let's go to the other side, an area where we have struggled mightily the last several years, and that's stopping the run. And I'm going to start with a young man that needs to take the next step in his career to get to what I think he has the ability to be a superstar player. That's Brian Bresee. Brian Bresee last season had 7.5 sacks. That was third among interior defensive linemen. ESPN just had a ranking when they were ranking all the interior defensive linemen. Brian Bresee did not even get honorable mention. Why? Because his inability to stand up against the run. Simply put, he has to put his big ball pants on. He has to become better at his gap control. He has to become better at stopping the run and become a more complete player. Because if that happens, we already know what he can do as an inside rusher. And 7.5 sacks for an inside interior defensive lineman, that's pretty darn good, guys.
I felt like – I asked Kellen Moore this because in OTAs, in the minicamp, he looked bigger to me. Like
Brian?
I don't, yeah. Now,
or Kellen?
Brian. Brian Bresee. He just looked bigger to me.
Let's hold up.
And so I asked Kellen. Kellen goes, I don't know. It's hard to – again, these guys, it's helmets and shorts, right? So it's hard to tell, but he looked bigger to me. He has done – here's what I'll say about Brian, then I'll be quiet. He can do some things on the field that a lot of guys with that size at that position physically cannot do, right? He'll do something and you'll go, holy cow, right?
Like, and jump over the line to block a field goal.
Spin. He's got a spin move that you don't even see the spin. It's so fast. So, well, you're right. But if you, it's the same thing. I try not to be the broken record, but I am. If you can't stop the run, if you can't run the ball, this would be a 5-minute show, right? Because that's everything.
Yes, most definitely. And a surprise cut, guys. I got a surprise cut. If things don't, I think Bink gets cut. I'm calling it. I don't think Bink makes this team. I don't think Bink makes it. Bink did not. Bink was brought here for what? To be stalled against the run? He was not successful last season. Matter of fact, they were subbing Binken a lot for Brian Breesy last season, hoping to get better performance against the run, but it just didn't materialize.
See, I'm gonna
and of course he, go, gonna, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm gonna disagree with you on that just because you need a nose
because
that,
of the system. The system
like,
changes.
I think that he's gonna fill a role in this scheme that you need, and that's going to be someone to back up Godchow as a nose. So he's going to have some utility that he might not have had last year. Now, that could be Christian Boyd, too. I think Christian Boyd has some nose in his game. But and then, I mean, come on, let's get him on offense. Like, we don't have a fullback on this roster. You're telling me you can't get in the goal line and get Bink out there? Full Bink action?
Bink has the H-back.
Yeah. He'll do it. He'll do it in a heartbeat. I don't even know if Kellen Moore knows yet just how loud Bink's going to be about, get me the ball. But, yeah, no, there's a, you know, I think there are going to be a few surprise cuts in that, you know, there's so much turnover from the coaching staff. I think there are a few guys on this roster that we look at and kind of just pencil in and say, like, oh, of course they're going to be here. But that's not necessarily going to be right. true, different and they might be viewed coaches. Differently right. by some of these new coaches.
They want their guys. If they're going down, that's the way Dennis Allen was in year two. He's like, heck with this. Yeah. If I'm going out, I'm going out with my people. And right. unfortunately he did. Is there anybody in
good
the draft?
Night.
Anybody?
Oh,
anybody? Last question for me. Anybody in this draft class beyond Kelvin Banks? I know we know what we're, I think we know what we're going to get. Shuck, it's going to be a battle. So in the next, you know, Broughton, Sanker, Stutzman, Riley, Neal, Latavio, and Diggs. Of those guys, is there anybody that you're like? To me, it's Devin Neal, right, for a six rounder. But anybody in the back end of the draft class that you're like, man, I want to see this cat on the field.
Riley,
yeah,
Quincy Riley, most definitely Quincy Riley.
He's going to get an opportunity.
He's going to get an opportunity unless Asante Samuel Jr. walks through the door in a couple of days. But Quincy Riley and another guy I think that we're overlooking. But every time this young man got an opportunity last season and the season before, Rico Payton. I like Rico Payton. I just think he's a good football player.
Rico.
I
do like me a special teams ace. I do love me a special teams ace, and the Saints always have those. I'll say Jonas Sanker. I think Jonas is going to be a very good player in this league. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to play yet, but I do like Jonas Sanker a lot.
All right. Well, hey, Dolph, appreciate the time. Host of Keeping It Real, Who Dat Sports Podcast, man. We're not too far away. July 23rd, we'll be at it, baby.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Have a great weekend.
Nation.
You bet, baby. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. Thanks.
Come on in. All right,
come
thank
on
you guys.
In. Thanks, Dolph. Founder of the Come On In Sports Network.